putting that together. And while I was thinking about it in the week, a thought came to me about, I heard some people talking last week at the wedding about their church. And the way they were talking about their church, I thought, what a beautiful church. But when I think about what they're talking about, I thought, but what is the church they're talking about? And I don't know if anyone here feels the same way about the church. We won't talk about church. I says, what is the church? Are we talking about a building? And I think 9 out of 10 times when we talk about the church, we're talking about a building. But I want the church to know today what the church really is. And when we talk about how lovely our church is, we know who we're talking about or what we're talking about. We'll talk about our church is not doing nothing, we know what we're talking about. Once our church is flourishing, we know what we're talking about. Because the church is the church that Christ built. Not the church that man built. The church is the church of Christ. So today I'm going to speak to you for a little while, and it's just about what is the church. And I start off by saying, the Lord says, I will build my church. These words of Jesus foretold the start of the Christian church. What is that Jesus built? Just what is the church? Because Jesus said, I will build my church. What did he build? Many people live in neighborhoods where there are multiple churches to attend. People are encouraged to attend the church of your choice or just to go to church. We heard that word so many times. And you say, I'm going to church. It's good to hear that word, I'm going to church. In almost every country, there are small churches and mega churches, churches in cities, churches in houses, and fancy churches. Remember that word, the fan. We have some fancy churches too. But are these buildings really churches? A person who is serious about his or her salvation should ask, just what is the church? Is it a building? We need to know what the church really is. Is God's church a building or is it something else? What does the Bible tell us about God's church? What did Jesus say about what his church is? In Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus tells us that, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the grave, shall not prevail against it. When I come to this part here, we're doing this, and I say yesterday, because it was rushed, only yesterday I got the opportunity to do this. As I came to this part, this scripture, I remember Brother Cruikshank. And I remember him because of one thing he always say. When you ask Brother Cruikshank a question, anything about the scriptures or what the Lord says, he never says to you, and this is it. He always say, let's see what the Bible says. He always refers to you, let's see what the Bible says. And I love that. When we go to the Bible, then we can get the answers we need. Because there are so many misleading answers today that we are grabbing onto. And we'll hold on to them. They're not taking us the right direction. They're not explaining anything right. So, brothers, he always say, let's hear what the word say. So let's hear what the word say about the church today. The church of God was to continue long after Jesus ascended to heaven. But what is it, and how do we know just what was to continue? What the Bible reveals. The book of Acts tells us the early history of the Christian church. In Acts 11, Barnabas and Saul, later called Paul, spent a year in Antioch at the beginning of Paul's ministry. For a whole year, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. This is verse 26 of Acts 11. Notice what it says here. I read again. For a whole year, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. So the question is, notice It is with the church. It doesn't say in or at. The preposition with indicated a position alongside or in participation with. So the Antioch church is then described as a group of people and not a building. Many times we hear people talk about their church, and they're not talking about themselves. They talk about the building they go to. Here, I love what Pat says about you. He didn't say you're going to work in the main church. He said we call it the sanctuary. Christ is not a church. He said it's a building. So we're going to worship in the sanctuary, he said. So we must know that when we talk about the church, first of all, we must realize that we're talking about ourselves. We're describing ourselves. If we're talking about how great our church is, it's how great we are. How loving our church is how loving we are. How strong our church is how strong we are. And we can only be strong when we are together. If Paul the Apostle further clarifies who or what the Bible means by church. In 1 Corinthians 14:23, he tells the Corinthians, if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks, the rest of it goes, that's just what we need. If the whole church comes together and everyone speaks, if the church can come together, it certainly doesn't sound like it is a building, but rather something else. Because it says the whole church comes together and everyone speaks. It certainly is not talking about a building. How can the buildings come together? He's talking about something else. And I'd like us to adapt the principle of talking about our church, knowing exactly what we're talking about. We're not describing a building. We are talking about ourselves or church. The word translated church, the word in the Greek language, the New Testament was written in Greek. It's ecclesia, which means a calling out, especially a religious congregation, an assembly. Strong's exhaustive concordance in 1577, it says the word designates the body of believers of which Jesus Christ is the head. Jesus Christ is the head of his church. It can designate the entire group worldwide, or it can designate a particular local group of individuals. So when Barnabas and Paul assembled with the church, they were assembling with and teaching a group of followers of Jesus Christ. At the very beginning of the New Testament church, we find in Acts 2 verse 47, the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. People were added to the New Testament church, to that group of called out believers, on a daily basis. People weren't put in a building. Thus, it should be obvious that the biblical term church is describing a group of people and not a building or cathedral. The church is a group of people called out for a special purpose. They are called. That is called by God. And I like this part here. Those truly part of God's church have been called by God to become part of his church. They are called out of the world to become followers of Christ. Christians, they are called out to be followers of Christ and to live a new way of life. God calls people into his church. And says, who calls someone to be part of God's church? Acts tells us in Acts 2:47, the Lord adds to the church those who are being saved. And in John 6:44, it confirms, it is God through Jesus Christ who adds to the church. So people say, I'm going to join this church. We can't join a church. is God who calls his people together. Every one of us sitting here are being called by God. And I think further on I explained a bit more. People cannot simply build a church and call it, build a building and call it the church. As many try to do. Rather, a person is called by God and answers that call. It's like a person answering a telephone call. You hear it rings, you answer, you connect with somebody. You don't answer, there's no connection. When God calls us, if we answer, there's a connection. If we don't answer, there's no connection. You don't know who calls, so it doesn't matter. But every one of us who hears God's call and answers that call, we made a connection. And the connection is either some kind of relationship, local people, but with God, it's a positive relationship he wants us to have with him, with himself. So when he calls us, it's not just to call us, say, I want to group together and be one body. He wants us to have a relationship with him and with ourselves. So God called his people out for a special purpose, that we can lead the way, that we can see, that others can see the God we serve today. So the relationship we have when we are called out must be such that it shows who God is. People can look and realize this is a wonderful body of people. How many times people came to our group and they are so blessed, they are so pleased, they walk away. Even 2 weeks, it was last week, we had a pastor from Jamaica, and on his way home, he called. He says, Pastor McQueen, tell you something. You've got a beautiful church. He says, you know what happened to me? He said, what I like? He says, the songs, they were so different, but he says, every song carries a message. I didn't look at it that way. But it says, every one of those songs carries a specific message. And that's what makes it so beautiful, he says, because the song, they were not just singing, he said, they had beautiful voices. He wants you all to come to Jamaica to sing. Let me clear from now. He wants us to come to Jamaica. I think Bobby says, I'm going to Jamaica sometime. He says, we should give Bobby his number. And give him Bobby's number that when Bobby is coming, he makes sure he pick him up because he wanted him to come and sing at his church. But he says, you know, the voices were something. But he says, what they realize that every song carries a message. And as he said, that's the beauty of worship. Because no worship, we worship, but we worship with a message. The message is given out in songs. He said, we preach the word, but the message in songs is more potent than the written word. And I never see it that way. But he says, that's why the congregation is so happy, because what? Every song is a message. And I thank God for the change of our worship, the way we begin to worship the Lord, with songs that really carry a message. And if we weren't called out by God, would we have those songs in our hearts? No. So we know that everyone who's called out today by God is the church. God calls his people for a special reason, because he wants you to be with him and he wants you to proclaim his name. And that's what you're doing so wonderful, brethren, in songs. People cannot simply build a building and call it a church, as so many try to do. Rather, a person is called by God and answers the call. It's as if like a person answering the telephone. When God calls, answer. A true Christian is a person God has selected. What a wonderful word. God has selected us and called us. When we think about so many people in the world today talk about, I can't go to church, I don't like church, I don't this, because they are seeing the building. That's what they talk about. I don't like the building. I can't go into this building because that's a church. But when they get to know individuals, that's who the church is. So we've got to make ourselves known as the church. That they know it's not a building. We are the church of God. And God called, he says, we are selected and called out. The process isn't simple, joining the church of your choice. A lot of people say, no, I'm going to join a church, but what? I'll join the church of my choice. I don't like this church. I don't like that church. Wrong thought, wrong explanation. You can't simply choose to join his church. The church of God, you can't get up and say, I'm going to join God's church. You have to be called. And when you're called, you're going to be called by God. And when you're called by God, you have to answer. It's not a dumb thing. He knows your heart, but you've got to answer. And when you answer, the connection is made. When the connection is made, his spirit engages with you. You must be called by God through Jesus Christ before making that commitment. You hear many people talk about, I can't believe in God, but I can't believe in Jesus. Unless you believe in Jesus Christ, you're not called out. Because your sins are still with you. We're called because of God's love. When you think about how God created us, it says God created us in his own image, in his own likeness. When we were kids, the ladies, they make babies and all that, dolls. We make bicycles, we make truck, we make everything, but we like what we make. And someone destroys that, and you're upset. That's what happens to God. When Satan tries to destroy what God made, God's annoyed, God's upset, because he told us, when he called us, he says, believe in me, trust me, follow me, I will be with you, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And the one I really like, the word it says, I will never leave you as orphans. We have a God who cares so much for us that he selected us and called us out. And I can say for myself, I know he selected me and called me out, because I know, you know, you say I have a gut feeling. I know if I didn't answer that call, I wouldn't be standing here today. I know I'd be dead. There's no two ways about it. I know I'd be dead. The amount of things that happens to me, and God revived me, he heals me, he saves me, I know. If I didn't answer that call, man could not put me together the way I am today. When I fell down and smashed my kneecap, the doctors told me, you'll never walk straight again. You'll always walk with a limp. Is that left foot? It will never bend like that again. You lose at least 30% of the bend in the knee. And when he said it to me, I went home. And I knelt and I said, Lord, I'm asking you, just let it bend enough for me to kneel down and pray. Nothing more ask of God. Because I couldn't see myself, what God was doing in my life, to see myself standing up every day to pray like God's a man before me. I feel I've got to kneel down and bow down before the God that calls me. And so I know if I didn't answer that call, the doctor said they couldn't put it together again. They couldn't. I remember when I went back, when Karen hold me and I go back for the first time to then look at my knee, he said to me, can you lift it up? I said, it's painful. He says, just try. And I was lying on it, wanted to just lift it. And I said, it's painful. He said, just try. And I tried. And the foot, the heel just couldn't barely move. He says, that's okay. He says, I just want to see that there's life down there, because he says, when we open up your leg and look at it, we've never seen anything like this in this hospital. We didn't know what to do. We called the orthopedic hospital. The surgeon wasn't there. So we did what we could and sewed it up back. That's it. We did what we could and sewed it back up. Send you home. But thank God, the God who called you, called me, he saw differently. He put it back together because he made in the first place. There's nothing that we as children of God need today that God would do for us. He told us. He's the God who created us. We've got to believe him, trust him, because he is there for us. God purchased, the church is purchased by Christ's blood. Colossians 1:18 states that very clearly, that he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. God's church has one head, not two. Jesus Christ is the head. It is what? One body. This is an important fact to consider. Somebody asked me one day, who's the leader of this church? And I said, you can't see him, but if you believe in him, he'll guide you. And he said, I'm not joking. I said, I'm not joking either. The leader of this church is not me. The Holy Spirit is the leader of this church. I said, I'm just a servant. I just wait for hear him to say to me, do that, and that's what I do. And he said to me, is that how your church run? Yes, that's how our church run. I don't get him and say, I wait for something to happen. And I says, brethren, this is when I reason why some of the things I say and do, sometimes I don't explain it. But when I see somebody come in this building, come to this congregation, and have a talent, I know God bring them for a purpose to glorify him. He called us out. And he called us out and gave us a talent to do something. Why should we say we are leaders and cover it up? Don't give the person that chance to glorify God. God called them for that purpose. So everyone comes with a talent. There's a place for you because what? When the whole body works together and functions together, then we have progress. And so God draws his people. God settled us in certain places. Church is purchased by Christ's blood. God's church was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. In Acts 2:20 and Paul 20:28, Paul, in talking to the elders of the congregation in Ephesus, tells them that to take heed of what? The flock, among whom which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. We're not leaders. We're servants. The Holy Spirit is leading us. He just makes us overseers to watch over them. And we cannot lord over God's children. We can't start telling God, do this. No, no. If I've got a problem with somebody, I tell God, Lord, I'm a servant. You guide me how to do this. Because what? If we start telling each other what to do, brethren, you know what's going to happen? The enemy is going to use that position for us to get upset with each other. Who are you to be telling me to do this? Who's to tell me to do that? So when we have problems, brethren, go to God. Tell him because what? He cares about us. This is his church. He's guarding his church. He's providing his church. He's protecting his church. Amen. He says what? Tell them to take heed of the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer to shepherd the church of God which he, Jesus, purchased with his own blood. Emphasis is placed on this because what? It's the blood of Christ that purchased us. He paid the price for us and brought us out of darkness. And everyone comes out of darkness about joining their hearts. Because what? We saw what he brought us from. When we look back, I think, why was I there so long? But unless the call comes, you can't move. But when the call comes, answer the call. Because the call will surely come. Every one of us will have this call. Some will answer, some won't answer. But the Lord will call because what? On that day of judgment, you can't see it in here. Because what? He will call, and God, you know he has called you. Those called out by God will be united in following Jesus Christ. They will follow him and will obey him. God's church will be shepherded, guided, led, and protected by Jesus Christ and his chosen shepherds. We can't protect the church. We are just overseers. But the church is protected. You are protected by God. I can't protect you. I can pray for you, but God protects you because you are his church. So when we talk about the church of God, we are talking about God's church, the body of Christ that he brings together. Led and protected by Jesus Christ and his chosen shepherds. Those called out by God will be united in following Jesus Christ. You can't be called out by God and follow somebody else. You've got to follow his son because it was Jesus Christ who paid the price for our sins. Because if we don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for our lives, it means that we still have our sins on us. Because it's only when we accept Christ and been washed in His blood, then the sins are purged from us. Because the blood of Christ that does that. So unless we accept Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives, we still have our sins on us. We are not guided. We are not protected. We are not provided for. They follow Him with and will obey Him. I repeat, God's church will be shepherded, guided, led, and protected by Jesus Christ and His chosen shepherds. So for people to be called to the ministry, it's not man do that. God calls them. We can encourage them, but God's the one who calls them. You know, when God called to do something, you must know, yes, the Lord is touching my heart. He's called me to do something. And what He's called to do? Because you see what? He knows your ability. He knows you can do something. So the Lord calls you and says, look, I want you to stand in this position to shepherd my people. The last part of Ephesians 5 describes marriage and uses Christ and His church as an example. In verse 24, Paul tells us, therefore, just as in the same way that the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. The true church, the body of called up believers, who are following Christ will be subjected to Him in some things. See, this is a problem. If we're going to be following Christ and being subjected to Him, He don't want to be half measure, serving Him half and half. He wants all of us because He gave His all for us. So we've got to commit our whole life to Him. His church will be striving to behave itself just as Jesus Christ did when He was living on earth. People criticized Him. They said all kinds of things about Him because they didn't understand Him. But there was not one man could find a fault against Him and say, well, He was guilty of doing this or doing that. This brings up a number of questions. If the church is to follow Christ, why are there so many different churches with different teachings? Does it matter what we believe? Does it matter what we believe? Because if there are so many churches today, so many different teachings, does it matter really what we believe? It matters greatly what we believe. Because if we don't believe what Christ tells us, then whatever we're doing is futile. We have to believe what Christ tells us and follow His teachings because He is the one who's guiding us. So it does matter what we believe. How should you determine which church to attend? That's a trick question I'm going to say because what? We know we are the church. So how are you going to choose which church to attend? You are the church. You can't go and join a church and say, well, this is my church. No, you are the church. What happened to the early New Testament church? What about church buildings? Since we have seen that God's church is a group of called out believers who are following Jesus Christ, what about church buildings? Does the Bible say anything about them? Let's see what the Bible says. Paul, in sending greetings to many in Rome at the close of his letter to the Romans, 16 verse 3, he tells them, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say in verse 5, likewise greet the church that is in their house. In Colossians 4 verse 15, Paul sends greetings to the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that is in his house. In addressing Philemon, Paul sends greetings to Philemon, our beloved friend and follower and fellow laborer, to the beloved Athia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to what? The church, your house. He never mentioned a building. The church that is in your house. The church that is in your house. So it's a group of people. The people in the house, that's the church. He never mentioned nothing about a building. But today, all we talk about is buildings. In all these, three of these passages, God's church is said to have met in someone's home. God's church is not the building, but rather it is the group of called out individuals who have dedicated their lives to following Jesus Christ, who is what? The head of his church. It's not about us. There is no separate church which is a building. In other cases, in the New Testament, church members met in Jewish synagogues or in other locations. Locations and facilities were not really important, but what was important was that the teachings were to be in accordance with what Jesus Christ taught and did. That's the important thing. The building, this is just a building, but it's what we do in this building, what we all do together. That doesn't seem to be the case for many today. Today, people are attracted to what they call church by the size or the beauty of the building. The social programs, the music programs, or the sport programs. But the building location or size, the status of those who attend it, the programs offered, the adornments or other physical things don't make the church. The building is just a building, an empty shell. You are the church in the building. Brethren, let's adapt. Now we talk about our church. We're going to boast about our church, how beautiful our church is. Now we're talking about ourselves. We're going to talk about our church, not doing anything. We're talking about ourselves. We're going to say our church is not growing. We're the ones not growing. Once our church is losing faith, we're the ones that are losing faith. Not the building. We've got to see ourselves as the church of God and be proud, because it says we were selected and called out by God, not by any man. We were selected and called out by God. What a privilege we have today to know that I was called by God, the God who said, "Let there be light," and there was light, the God who created all things. And what I wanted to talk about sometimes about the obedience to follow Christ. We saw it when the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt. And every time they disobeyed, there's a consequence. And every time they obeyed, there's a blessing. And I think we're going to go through the book of Exodus one day. Not one day. For a season, we're going to look at the book of Exodus to strengthen us to know that in Christ Jesus, we are conquerors. Without him, we are failures. We cannot do it by ourselves. The Lord told us in his own word, without me, you can do nothing. And day by day, when I kneel and say, "Lord, truly without you, I can do nothing. Thank you for being there for me. Thank you for being there for us. Because you are my brethren. And I care about everyone. Believe me, you would know." Let's give God praise. We bless his name for his goodness and his mercy, for calling us out. And let's look at the rest around us. See if we can get them to hear, because what? To understand the God. God calls, but how many of us answers? We need to know when he calls, answer that call, because it's of vital importance. It's life. In Jesus' name.